Amen. Thanks so much, Terry. Well, my name is Dan Jarvis, one of the pastors here. And before we get back into our worship time, we have an extra feature today to help us kick off this new series called Everyday Bible. We'll be doing this for the next 4 weeks and hopefully inspire one another, spur each other on to have our Bibles open, our hearts open this year, and to let God transform us, like Terry was just saying. So to help me with this segment, I have a panel of some of our leaders selected. So Bill, Laurel, and Ben, if you want to come on up and take a seat, I'd love to chat with you up here. And I'll introduce each of you. Some of you are pretty well known, I would say, but I want to make sure everybody knows who's who. And when I was thinking about how to teach the idea of reading the Bible here in these few weeks, you know, there's not really a right or wrong way to do this. Each person who's engaged with the Bible personally finds their own rhythm. And so I thought it would be interesting to learn from a few of you about how the rhythms you've found over the years that have helped that. And so a quick introduction. Many of you know Pastor Bill. He is our care and coaching pastor, and so we really appreciate him. And Bill, you've been a Bible teacher here in addition to your care ministry, coaching ministry for many, many years. And so we're looking forward to hearing from you. We've got Ben Sanders. Ben leads our care ministries and also, as of this week, is transitioning into Dave Eichberg's old role to be our new ministry director. So he'll be overseeing operations here at the church and just getting started as of tomorrow morning, first day on the job. So welcome to that. And then many of you know Laurel Quinn. She leads our kids ministries. And also has just kind of been a champion, even for this series, a champion for all of us engaging with the Bible very intentionally. And so grateful to hear from each of you. And I wanted to kick it off with a question, and we'll just do kind of, you know, sort of short answer format, conversational format here. I know all of you are well capable of going ahead and preaching a 30-minute message about what we're talking about, so I know you have to suppress that instinct a little bit here. But So, Bill, I'll start with you. When you think about how the Bible has impacted you, tell us where were you in your life when you started directly engaging with the Bible, and how did you do that?
Well, I was raised in a church that really valued Bible training, and so I started to engage really as a very young child. But it wasn't on my own so much, right? I was sitting in classes. But when I was in high school, it was the summer between my junior and senior year of high school. I went to a youth conference, and the Lord really put his calling on me to dedicate my life to the Lord. And so that's when then I started to pursue, what does that mean to really learn the Bible in a way that you can be teaching it?
Okay. How about you, Ben? Same question.
Yeah. My mother was kind of the spiritual champion of our family. We grew up in a pretty hard life situation. My father was not really there spiritually. But so I think probably camp, Christian camp, got me kind of kicked off on being interested and getting like really saying, hey, I want to dedicate my life to the Lord. But I've been analytical my entire life. I just really like to process and think through things. So kind of my first habits of reading the Bible were digging in and trying to get, you know, answers. I wanted to have all the answers. And so my trajectory of reading the Bible has had to move from this, I just need answers, to I want a relationship.
Okay. Yeah. How about you, Laurel? How did you start into the scripture?
I grew up in the church, but I really didn't start reading the Bible regularly until my mid to late 20s. So it took me a while. I hadn't formed that habit. And it's interesting because what led me to it was I heard someone say, imagine if you had a parent or a grandparent who passed away, and before they passed away, they wrote you this letter, and it tells you where you come from, your history, why you're you, why you're special, how much they love you. And then you never opened that letter and you never read it. And then using that as a metaphor for, we've got the Bible. That's God's love letter to us. And yet I'm not even taking the time to open it and hear his words to me. And that was really convicting and kind of prompted me to want to start engaging with it.
Yeah. Okay. So so when we're motivated to read the Bible, which hopefully all of you are, but if you say, even if maybe today you'd say, I'm really not that motivated, I'm hoping that maybe in this series I'll catch a little bit of that fire. all of us have to figure out when and where we'll do it, sort of the habits, the rhythm. Because the Bible's a big, complex book, so it's certainly not a one-sitting type of a read. It's something that over the course of your whole lifetime, you want to be digging in and learning from and rereading and considering, meditating. So what are some habits or practices of Bible engagement, Bible intake, that have helped you over the years? I'll start with you, Laurel.
Well, for me, I have to do it at night. I tried doing it in the morning, and it's just not going to work for me. So I have a time. It's like after 8:30. That is my Bible study time. Jason, my husband, knows this. That's my couch. I'm reading the Bible time. And I have to, as just a little habit thing, on my phone, I actually have like a screen time reminder prompt so that it goes dark and like all the apps go dark. And that is the visual cue for me of like, okay, I'm not scrolling. I'm not watching anything. This is my time with the Lord.
That's great. Ben?
Yeah. My habit is also in the evening. I try to set a time aside. We actually go to bed really early, but then we just lay in bed and like read and watch videos or whatever we want to do for, you know, an hour and a half or so. So before I get to that stuff, I tell myself I want to dedicate time to the Lord first. And so I take the time prior to engaging in anything else where we're just going to lay around and not do anything super productive. I want to take the time to spend with the Lord. So, and then usually that's a topical type of a study. So I'm really topical based. Sometimes I'll just go through a book, but a lot of times I'll start a book and then I'll find something that triggers my brain, and then I'll be like, I want to learn more about that. And then I start jumping all over the place. But
so you and I are starting the same journey here this year.
We,
you know, the Bible display out in the gym, both Ben and I were looking at the 1 year for men Bible where it breaks it up by date instead of by like through the Bible in order. And we both thought like, let's give it a whirl. So,
yeah.
Are you on track with that? Three days.
I don't want to brag, but I'm actually on day 14 already.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
I know.
Yeah. All right. Well, good for you, Ben. That's great. Overachiever.
Actually, it's in preparation for me knowing I'm going to screw up somewhere down the road.
So. Yes. Right. Okay. Good call. All right, Bill, how about you? Rhythms of Bible study for you?
Yeah. For me, like Laurel, I'm not in the morning, right? Morning, my mind is wandering all over the place. And so usually I have to get into my rhythm of the day. When I owned the business and I was on the road a lot, I used to stop at lunchtime, and that was when I could focus. I'd sit and eat lunch and do my Bible study. But now with the rhythm that I have, there's not really a consistency to it, and so I can't say that it's consistently the same time every day. But what I try to do is. What I'm working on mentally, sometime during the day, I take some time to process and to work through and to study and to try to figure out the next step into what I'm mentally chewing on anyway. So that keeps me in the Word.
So that's interesting. So all three of you would say the nighttime works for you. So I don't know if this happens. Maybe all of you who are a little older than I am can attest to this, but I started waking up earlier naturally recently. And I'm finding that that's actually the best time for me. So in my household, there's kids running around, there's school prep, there's all sorts of other things happening. And so really the only time that is quiet and focused is if I wake up before the herd wakes up, you know? And so I've got 10 kids, by the way, for those of you who don't know. So there's a lot that happens early in the morning. I've actually been finding a really nice time early, but I would have said, if you would have asked me that 10 years ago, I would have said, oh, there's no way I could focus in the morning. So all that to say, wherever you are in your life rhythm, there's not really a right or wrong way to do it. I think on average, people assume that they're supposed to do it in the morning and that you kind of are failing devotionally if you don't wake up and do it right away. That might be true for you, but I don't think that's true. And obviously for all of you, so that's not how it works right now. So, okay, a couple other questions then. Have you hit dry spells where you just didn't want to read the Bible, and how do you overcome that when that happens to you, or if that happens? So, Ben, how about you?
Yeah, I've definitely hit dry spells. There have been periods of my life as my career was taken off about 10 years ago. I mean, I probably didn't read the Bible at all for a while. I just really struggled to find time, and I was also struggling with things personally. And so you go through those dry spells, and you feel like you know, I just, you start to feel that distance and you're like, how do I come back and get back into that rhythm? And I can't say particularly what that was, but I think it was actually engaging in a small group around that time. And I started taking a Sunday morning class just to say, man, I just feel like I'm so far from the Lord and I just feel like I can't get that connection back. And so by engaging others, it got my heart kind of kickstarted again to just really want to get back into the Word. And then I got back into the Word and started to really want to dedicate time into that again.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, Bill?
Yeah, I did struggle with the whole idea of those who are really godly will start their day with Bible study, right? I struggled with that for a long time, and it's really demotivated me a lot of times because I just, I was going through the motion. I was reading it, but I really wasn't getting anything out of it. And so that's kind of when I started to lock into connecting my Bible reading to what I was already passionate about. And it just really kept that, you know, that passion, that joy in there. And so as long as I'm, you know, engaged mentally and spiritually with trying to grow, then I have an excitement. But when I get apathetic in my spiritual growth and I get complacent, then my drive for that Bible reading tends to wane along with that as well.
Hmm. Yeah. Are you a little?
Well, I've been reading through the Bible in a year for the last couple of years. And if you haven't done that, buckle up, because in about a month or two, you're going to hit a spell where it's going to feel a little bit demotivating. You're going to be learning a lot about the tabernacle. You're going to be learning about all the Jewish purity laws. And you're going to be thinking, why am I reading through the Bible right now? This whole thing. Why don't I just stay in the New Testament? There's a lot of cooler stuff in the New Testament. So that was something that was really a struggle the first couple of times that I read through the Bible in a year, because I just could not understand, what does this have to do with the gospel? And so I would say for me, what has been really impactful is when you reach those passages, and also just passages that are frankly horrific. I mean, there's a lot of difficult things and depravity of man on display, particularly in the Old Testament. I would look at this passage and say, what is God trying to teach me in this? It's in the Bible for a reason. We believe that it's the inspired and inerrant, without error, Word of God. So why is this here? And what does this show me about Jesus? And by focusing in on the attributes of God and the role of Jesus in the gospel in this passage, every time the Lord would start working those things out in my mind and I would start finding the connection points. And then each year that I do it, it just is even richer and deeper and more meaningful as I continue to unpack that.
Yeah. I remember one specific time, I think I was probably 22, and I had grown up in Bible quizzing, like what Terry was talking about in announcements. So I had quite a bit of the New Testament kind of banked. I could quote a lot of verses, like whole books of the Bible. I can't quite quote them now, but, you know, hopefully a lot of the value is still in there. You almost get, you know, like you're so saturated in it that you just think, I already kind of know what I need to know. So, which is never true, but you might, you know, tell yourself that. So I remember a season where I just didn't want to read. I could, I should, I was still in Christian ministry environments where you're sort of supposed to be. And what helped me the most was actually reading and rereading Psalm 119, like 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, but every verse of that psalm, 176 verses of it, are essentially why the Bible matters, why God's Word is important, how God's Word changes you. And just reading and rereading that and praying about that really helped relight the fire and the interest for me. So over the course of years, you know, the passion for this stuff ebbs and flows, and I do find myself going back to Psalm 119 frequently just to say, like, why am I doing this? And kind of re-catch the motivation right out of that psalm. Okay, last question, and if you want to throw in any extra tidbits or whatever, feel free, but if you were kind of giving advice to somebody who's beginning the journey, they say, all right, 2026, the church is doing this thing, I'm in, I want to read the Bible. And as if you were here the last couple of weeks, we're framing it in two ways. Like, one is, if you're completely new to all this, just make the commitment that you want to have your Bible open in front of you once a day. That's a huge victory if you can do that. If you'd say, I've been doing that, or I'm kind of a veteran, then the challenge is, would you read the whole Bible in 2026? And so on either front, but I'm thinking more of for the first person, the person who's kind of new to the whole story, what advice would you give them as they get going on this journey? So how about you, Will?
What was really helpful for me was to take stock of, like, what am I spending my time on? Because I just thought, I don't have time for this. How am I going to make time? And then I started thinking about, wow, I've been on Instagram for an hour, or I just watched a TV show that turned into several episodes of a TV show. And so if you're struggling to even figure out where the time is for it, just start taking notice. What am I spending my time on? And flip that so that the first thing you do, like I think it was Ben said, you do the Bible first and create an accountability partner or something like a reminder on your phone, something that actually gives you the prompt to just stop what I'm doing and let's spend some time with the Lord right now. Mm-hmm.
That's great. You know, a helpful thought toward that is if there's something you kind of want to do, like watch a TV show, you can sort of bundle that together and say, I'm not going to let myself watch the show until I've done the more important thing, which in this case would be reading the Bible, or, you know, people use that with exercise or other things that they want to develop a discipline, is take the thing that tempts you and put it out in front, say, I have to do my discipline before I get to that sort of reward. So how about you, Ben?
Yeah, I think when I started, especially, I felt like I wanted a lot of answers and I couldn't get those answers quickly enough. And I would get kind of bored. Like, I didn't know how to engage the Bible. And what I found was having commentaries, like, gave the whole experience. It was kind of like I remember thinking, if I could just sit with somebody that really, like a pastor, if I could just read the Bible through with a pastor, it'd be super helpful because they could help me. And then I realized there's actually a ton of resources out there that as you're reading the Bible, you can get the information you need to get some of those questions answered on the fly without having to, I used to call it a cocoon. I'd get all wrapped up in this problem and I couldn't figure out how to solve it. And I'd pray about it and I'd ask questions to people. And I just realized that there's a lot of really good champions of the gospel and of the word that are out there that you can get a hold of. So I use Olive Tree Bible now. It's an app. I use a real Bible too when I'm reading through the Bible, but just encourage you guys, if you don't have a commentary or don't have a sermon series that's in writing where you can actually read through it verse by verse along with what you're reading, I would encourage you to do that.
Yeah, mine was going to be very similar to that. A couple of tools that are readily available online. One is Bible Project. What I got discouraged in reading through the Bible, especially when I was trying to read through some of those more dry passages, I just wanted to know, how does this fit into the big picture, right? Why is this even here? So a tool like Bible Project, you can go in and it'll give you an overview of the book. It'll give you a history. It'll tell you how it ties into the big picture, which then keeps me motivated. Another really good, easy to connect to commentary that's online is Bible Ref, R-E-F, and it gives you the Bible that you can read on one side, and then a commentary that's very, very easy to understand on the other side. You can click on any verse on the Bible side, and it'll take you. You can click on commentary; it'll take you to the commentary about that particular verse. So it gives you an overview, and it also gives you an explanation of each of the verses. And so I just stay much more motivated in Bible reading if it's tying into the big picture for me.
That's great. So over the next few weeks, we'll be talking more about how to do all this and opening up the scripture itself to hear from the Lord, like how we should value his word. But Bill, I wonder if you'd be willing to close us in prayer for this segment, then we'll worship, and then I'll come back and kind of open up some practical opportunities for how we go forward from here. So,
Father, first and foremost, we give you praise and honor as our God. You're a God who is filled with love and compassion for us. And you have chased after us, literally chased after us. There's no way that we could know you. We couldn't even know about you except for you revealing yourself because You wanted to have relationship with us, and so thank you for that. And part of that relationship we get to have with you is going into your word and learning about you, learning about your character, learning how to love you, learning how to live in consistency with your character. And so thank you for that. Thank you for revealing yourself, leaving your written word for us to be able to study and to be able to grow. And I just pray that as we commit ourselves to doing that this year, I pray that you would bless us in ways that just amaze us and we grow ever deeper in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, you can be seated. And if you'd like to open your Bible to Psalm 19, there should be one in the seat in front of you if you need a copy, or you can open up your Bible app and access it that way. But I'd love for you to have the Bible open in front of you and not just rely on my words, but read them for yourself. So I've been looking forward to this series because the Bible is the foundation of everything that we believe in. It's how we know Jesus in a personal way. And so when we say, I'd like to have a personal relationship with God, I want to get to know Christ, the primary pathway through which we would accomplish that is opening up our Bible and learning from the Scripture that truth. Now, we also learn through our experiences and through creation and through prayer and from one another, but our primary pathway of learning is, of course, God's Word. And so my hope for you, my prayer for you, is that you'll walk out of here, not just today, but over the next few weeks, inspired to have your own Bible open. And we've said it many times that if the only time your Bible is open is while you're at church, I'm still very glad you're here, and I would say definitely keep doing that, but you're missing the meat of your faith if this is it for you. Most of your learning, most of your spiritual depth will come from your own engagement with the Bible, your own devotional life, your own study, and I hope that you'll walk out of here inspired toward that today. So Psalm 19, we'll read verses 7 through 11. It says, "The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, than even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant and a great reward for those who obey them." So, Lord God, we commit this series to you, and we thank you, Lord, that you have put your word in our hands in a way that we can access so freely and read or listen to as often as we want. We recognize that has not always been the case and still isn't today for some cultures around the world where the Bible is outlawed or suppressed. Here in this moment, in this room, we have ready access to eternal life-changing truth. And we thank you for that. I pray now that, Lord, you would give each one of us your word to our hearts, what we need to hear, so that we can not only succeed in opening our Bible on a regular basis or keeping a New Year's resolution, but, Lord, that our lives could be transformed and our relationship with you could be informed and deepened by our Bible intake. We commit that to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, today I'd like to zoom in on this phrase, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. And I wonder in your life if you can think of a time when you needed some reviving in your soul. Have you ever experienced something like that where, for whatever reason, internally, you just feel like you're dying or you're stressed or you're in such need and you need a refresh, you need a reboot. The biblical word is revival. We need new life, a fresh surge of life and energy from God. And the Bible, the word of the Lord, the instructions of the Lord can provide that. Now, something interesting to consider is this psalm was written, this is part of the Old Testament, so there was no New Testament to read, all of our favorite part. We say, well, I'll go to the easy part to read the New Testament. The psalmist didn't have that. So when he's talking about the law of the Lord, the instructions of the Lord reviving his soul, specifically, what part of the Bible is he referring to? Does anybody know? The first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which if you're doing the Through the Bible in a Year plan, you're just into Genesis now. A lot of us would say, wow, that's some of the hardest terrain in the Bible to read and get through. And for this psalmist, he's saying that those instructions, those laws from God refresh me. Those laws from God revive my soul. Say, wow, how excited would he have been to be able to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John and the truth of Jesus? It would have been even better, right? So we can look back even to those difficult texts in the Old Testament and say, all right, Lord, those were there on purpose. And if I believe that this psalmist knew what he was talking about, that your instructions, your laws are perfect and they can revive my soul, then I'm interested. I'd like to read those laws. I'd like to know what that feels like. So I was thinking about some of the motivators of why we would need revival in our soul, and I made a list, not to depress you, but a list of reasons why we might need this in our life, all right? So why would your soul need a revival, a recharge, a reboot? Well, it could be a whole range of issues. I think grief can just take the wind out of our sails, disappointment, betrayal, loneliness, a sense of inadequacy, like you're just not good enough. Rejection from other people. You might be bearing some shame about things you've done or things that have happened to you. Unfulfilled longings, hopelessness, guilt of all the things you should have done or should have been that you aren't, or the ways that you should have followed Jesus and you haven't. The sins you've committed, the list of wrongs in your past. Could just be fear and worry. You're looking at the state of the world. You're just afraid. You're worried about things. You lack purpose. These are all things that can take the sparkle in your life, the joy that God created you to have, and just suck all of that out of you, right? So how do you get it back? You just try harder tomorrow? Will that restore your joy? Will that revive your soul? We say, no, if I'm deflated like that, I need life from God to come back into my heart. Where will I find that life? And the amazing answer to that question, the encouraging answer to that question, is you all are holding in your hands right now the primary source of that soul-level revival that you need. If you would say, I do feel lonely, I do feel discouraged, I don't feel like I've been living on purpose, I am carrying around a bunch of guilt, what do I do? The simplest answer, not the only part of the answer, but certainly the beginning of it, is to open the book that's in front of you and let the instructions of the Lord, the law of the Lord, revive your soul. So if you were to finish this sentence, what might it sound like? If you said, oh yeah, that time my soul needed reviving was when I, how would you fill in that blank? When I failed at something I was attempting to do. When I lost someone who was really important to me, when I went way off track and blew my testimony and committed a sin, when I woke up one day and realized I'm not where I want to be in my life. There's a whole host of reasons why your soul might need a surge of fresh energy in life. And what I'm here to encourage you with today is that if you'll open your Bible, you'll be on track to finding that life. And it's the words of Scripture that can give you hope and joy and renewal and peace and assure you of God's forgiveness and mercy and love and can restore, rekindle your relationship with God. If your Bible's closed, in all likelihood, you're not feeling many of those things. I suppose it would be possible to coast on just what you already know of the Bible, maybe a few verses you've got in your heart, and praying once in a while and kind of coast on that for a little while. But I could very well guarantee you that if your Bible is closed, then your soul is probably in a state of atrophy. Your joy is starting to wane. The things of this world might starting to be crowding out the things of the spiritual realm. And so when you open your Bible, you restore all of that and you get back on track with the Lord. So this is a hopeful thing. To me, when I think about reading the Bible in 2026, I don't think of it like some sort of a guilt trip or like now it's a new duty I've signed up for. I mean, there are certainly days when I would say, wow, I kind of wish I didn't have to do this and I do it anyway because I'm committed to it. But on balance, this isn't about trying to do something to make yourself better. This is about being enriched by God's word, being filled with the truth that's going to change your life. So it's a joyful thing to make a commitment to jump into the Bible. So there's a few faith statements I think we can make about the Bible that I would make freely to you, and I know many of you in this room, you would believe these things, but maybe a couple of you are on the fence. You say, well, I'm exploring. So here are some statements that to me form a foundation for motivation of why we should be in the Bible regularly. So first one, the most obvious one, we believe that the Bible is God's word. Paul wrote to Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. So all of scripture, even the parts that feel a little bit hard to understand, or the parts that you think, I just kind of skip that part because I don't know what's going on. All of that scripture is there for a reason. And so when you have the faith to believe that and you start reading, you start listening, start studying, God will then do the next part of what this verse says. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So everything that God wants you to do from today forward, your whole future plan, God's plan for your life, involves the truth of the scripture being applied in the way that you walk, in the way you make decisions. So when you open up your Bible, you're connecting directly with God and his word for you. So I think that's pretty strong motivation to say, I want that in my life. Another truth that we believe is that the Bible is sufficient. Every word of God proves true. He's a shield to all who come to him for protection. Do not add to his words. So there would be a temptation, right, to say, well, I know the Bible's important, but I've got a lot of other things as well. And say, well, of course, there are other things to learn about. But for your spiritual life, for your relationship with God, you don't have to think that there's some missing mystical truth out there that's still out of reach. When you open up the Bible and you read what it says, it's giving you what you need to know. It's sufficient to guide you to know Jesus and to ultimately live the life that he died to provide. So you're not worried that you're missing something. Instead, you're diving in faith and saying, God, I believe your word is what I need. You offered this to me on purpose. I want to jump in. Okay, the Bible is powerful. Hebrews notes that the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It exposes our inmost thoughts and desires. So how many of you have ever felt the Bible being alive before? Do you know what that's talking about? So I enjoy that feeling, and it doesn't happen every time you read it. Sometimes you just read it, and there it is. It's reminding you of truth you already know. But sometimes you're facing a key question in your life. You're dealing with something that's wrong in your heart. And then you open up the Bible and somehow there's the answer. Even though you might have read that same chapter before, maybe you even knew those verses before, you've heard sermons about it before, but that moment when you open up the Bible, it's like God is speaking to you. God uses his word. It's like it's alive. It's a part of our lives. And so you want that to be flowing through your mind, through your heart all the time. The more your Bible is open, the more you can hear the words of God for you. So to me, that's another pretty powerful motivation. I want that in my life. I want the power of God, the presence of God, the word of God in my heart. The fourth is that the Bible is necessary. Jesus said to the devil, remember when Jesus was being tempted and the devil said, hey, turn this stone into bread and you'll meet your needs. And Jesus said, no. And he quotes Deuteronomy. When he says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Bible, the word of God, the law of God is like food for your soul. Which is actually an encouraging metaphor to think about because I don't know about you, but I enjoy eating food. I'm glad I have a lunch waiting for me later. I'm glad I've got dinner plans. And when there's a lack of food, you immediately start to know it, right? Your body tells you, I need some sustenance. I need something here that it's not being fulfilled. Now, I don't remember all the food I ate in the past. Maybe there's some exceptional meals where I could think back, oh yeah, that was an amazing meal. But for the most part, the daily bread, the daily meals we eat, sustain us. The point isn't that they're somehow epic and wonderful every time. The point is to nourish us so that we can live. I think, well, when we read the Bible, it's like that as well. That you may not remember everything you read when you're reading the Bible. You might read a chapter and say, I don't quite know what that's all about, but I'm grateful I just read that. You might come to church and feel that sometimes, right? But the point isn't that everything's memorable. The point is you are feeding your soul with God's word. And so you want to make sure every day you've got a healthy meal in front of you, and the Bible helps provide that meal directly from God. It's necessary for your life, for your development, for your growth. If the Bible's never open, somehow you'll feel that hunger, but you might not realize that's what you're actually hungry for. People feel that emptiness, the aimlessness, the loneliness, and they say, I'm looking for that somewhere. So you try to fill in the blanks, watch more TV, do more internet, go out with more friends, and somehow it still doesn't quite check the box. It doesn't fill the need. It's because you were built for a relationship with God, and God's word to you is found in the Bible. So if you partake, if you eat from that spiritual food, you'll start to feel fulfillment. You'll start to grow. Okay, and then here's the last reason. The Bible is a signpost, a really important one. Jesus looked at the Pharisees, who in his day were the scholars, the very learned religious elite, and they thought they knew what they needed to know. But for them, it was all in their head. It wasn't in their heart, at least for a lot of them. And so here's what he said to them. He said, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. So here, even in a Bible church, we could have people who are like Pharisees. You could be one of them. I could be one of them. We could unknowingly cross that line where suddenly we're very knowledgeable about the Bible. And maybe you even have some really good habits of Bible intake in your life. You're reading it, you're studying it, maybe you're in teaching it, but it's in your head and not in your heart. Somehow it's becoming about the book instead of about the person the book points to. And that's what had happened to the Pharisees. So all of the Bible points us to Jesus. That's who we're here to, that's why we want the Bible open. It's not just so that we know from the history here, oh, well, here's what the Bible said. It's so that we can know Jesus in a personal way. So as a part of our series, as a part of the challenges we're doing over the next few weeks, I wanted to give you a little bit of coaching and encouragement. Okay, so just really ground floor, obvious stuff, but important stuff. And on that note, one of the things that's interesting is, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in some sort of a small group environment or a little quiz opportunity where somebody asks a question, it's kind of like the right answer is always read the Bible and pray more, right? And so you kind of go, well, yeah, I know that, but then what's the actual answer? What's the bigger picture? So I'd like to rewind that a little bit and say when people say that, like reading the Bible and praying more, there is a reason that that feels like the obvious answer to most questions. It's because that is actually a big part of the answer. So how will we do that this year? So first question, would you be willing to join us, join our church family, in making the Bible a part of your routine? It could be one verse a day, it could be a chapter a day, it could be the whole Bible in a year plan, which is about three chapters a day. It could be binge reading once in a while. Just in any way you want to have the Bible open, you say, Lord, I want my routine to reflect a commitment to your word. So I'll put it in my daily planner. I'll schedule it out. I'll make sure I'm engaging with the Bible and not just spending time on other things. So here's a few possible goals that you might set. And we recognize everybody's in a different place. Some people are at different starting lines here. So the goal isn't to try to match what somebody else in the room is doing and say, I have to do it, you know, be just as spiritual as they are. No, this is in your life, your relationship with God, you start. You take a next step. So maybe you just say, I want to read or listen to the Bible every day this year. I just want to make that commitment and start walking that direction. Maybe you say, I will read the whole Bible in a year, or I'll follow a different reading plan. You could join a weekly study or a life group, and that'll help give you that encouragement, especially on the days when things do feel a little bit dry or dark, or you just don't feel like, you know, it's really nice to have accountability, to have some friends who are also on the same journey with you. So a few readiness questions to give you something to pray about, think about as we go today. First of all, do I have a copy of the Bible I enjoy reading? Now, this is really important. Because I remember when I was a kid, there was a family heirloom Bible that was small. It had like an old-fashioned picture of Jesus on the cover. It had some cool pictures in the middle, but it was microscopic print, King James. So wonderful to set on a shelf. Really, really difficult to make a daily habit of reading that thing, right? So I say, great, we'll keep the family heirloom, but that's probably not the Bible that I could engage with in a very personal way. So that's one of the reasons we say, if you don't have a Bible that you would say you can personally enjoy reading, that you, when you read it, you're getting something out of it, get a new one. We have all sorts of opportunity in our day and age in the English language. We're extremely blessed with lots of varieties of translations and styles of Bibles that can get you pointed in the right direction. So if you say, you know what, I do have that. I have a Bible I enjoy reading. It's in my hands or it's at my home. Awesome. Check that box. You're ready to go. Okay, next question to be ready for this series. Have I downloaded the YouVersion Bible app? Okay, there's other Bible apps you can download. This is, I think, kind of obviously the best one out there. There's all sorts of reading plans. There are all sorts of videos you can watch. And one of the neat features of this, especially if you say, I'm just really not that much of a reader, is anything in the YouVersion app, there's a play button at the bottom of the chapter of the Bible you're in. You can hit play and it will read it all to you. And it's actually not like just an electronic voice. It's actually got some inflections, pretty positive. So even if you say, you know what, my best time to do this would be in the car on the way to work or something, great. You plug it into plug it right into YouVersion, let it play through your speakers, and there it is. So that would be something worth downloading, whether you use it all the time or just have it available and put it right there on the front screen of all your app options to keep that scripture in front of you. Next readiness question would be, do I have a realistic plan to get started? So I mentioned to you that Ben and I, we're doing the one-year Bible for men this year. That's kind of a realistic plan. It's all laid out. That's going to work for me. I'm only on day three, so I'm, you know, right where I'm supposed to be. I'm not like Ben, way ahead. But say whatever the plan needs to be for you. Get that plan in play so that you're ready for this and you don't just kind of say, I ought to get into that someday. No, just think about it today. How could you jump in while the year is still fresh? Okay, have I signed up for a class or group? Okay, the Bible orientation, the one-time class, that's great. Maybe sign up for life group. That starts this week, actually, so you can still climb on board one of those. And there's all sorts of other learning electives and opportunities throughout the church that you would be able to have, again, another rhythm that's going to drive you into the Bible on a regular basis. And then have I prayed for God's help as I seek his word? You can lay great plans out, but you say, Lord, you authored this book. You breathed out these words. I want to learn about you. I'm pursuing Jesus as I do this. So, Lord, would you help me to engage the Bible that way? Okay, so my encouragement to you today is to give this a try. Psalm 19, verse 7, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. If your soul needs that, which I'm guessing if you're anything like anybody else in the room, it probably does, at least sometimes, need some revival, then open up the instructions of the Lord and let God's word do its work for you. All right, let's pray, and then we can get after it. Jesus, we're very grateful that you have given us the Bible that points us into our relationship with you. Would you put a fire in our hearts to read it, to listen to it, to comprehend it, to chew on it, to apply it to our lives? This year, Lord, would it be a year of the Bible for us, for our church? But not just this year, today, this week. Lord, may our Bibles be open. Give us those reminders in our hearts. Encourage us. And when we do read your word, Lord, we pray for illumination, that you would put your light on the scriptures that we need to see, that we need to understand, that we need to live or pray about. And we look forward to doing that. Thank you so much for giving us your word to teach us what we need to know so that we can have a rich relationship with you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy New Year. God bless you. We'll see you next week.